Oh, man. All right. So we ended up hanging out this weekend.
Yeah, it was a good time, man. Did you you enjoy yourself out at the 50 Flies show along with a bunch of other bands?
I very much did, man. It actually was like perfect fitting it into my weekend plans because, you know, I got off work, came home, played a little Xbox, packed up, went up to your show in High Point, which is like maybe an hour from my house, and then you guys did a terrific set. Terrific set, man.
Appreciate it. Thank you, sir.
Devil sounded really good. It's the first time I heard Devil live, so really good track, man.
Good to hear. Good to hear.
I'll say this. The bass really comes through on that track, man. You can just hear every bass note. Or bass line. I don't know which one it is. I'm not a music guy.
That's something you get when the producer is also a bass player. So that worked out good.
There you go. Perfect, man. Perfect. So, yeah, listen to you guys smack the bass, you know, and kill it and do a good job.
Awesome.
And then 20 minutes away was my destination for Friday night.
That is fantastic. It could have fit in better.
It was so good. But here's the thing, man. This is how I know I'm getting old, right? So I only had one beer at your guys' show, and then I left after your guys, you know, I hung out for a minute, but then left. Went up there to my buddy's house in Greensboro.
Yeah.
Had literally like 2 ounces of whiskey on the rocks.
Just blackout.
I was in bed at midnight. I wasn't though. We were like, all right, we got 9 a.m. tea time. Let's get some sleep. Yeah. Woke up at 7:15. Was on the had some coffee. Was on the course at 9. I had 2 beers and 2 White Claws. Then after that, I went to the bar. I had 1 gin and tonic. Mm. And the whole plan was I was up there with Dick John and James and Brett. I was like, all right, I'm gonna go back. I'm gonna like take a power nap. I'm gonna shower, and then I'm gonna meet you guys out. For our listeners at home, I'm shaking my head. No, it did not happen. I probably laid my head down around 5 o'clock.
Yeah.
I didn't wake up until 7 a.m. the next morning. I had so many phone calls, so many text messages.
Wow.
What the hell's going on, Clyde? There must have been 40, dude.
Yeah, we left High Point. We were going to go straight up to Asheville before we had the whole fiasco with the RV. So we ended up just coming back home, and I think got home about 3-4 o'clock, something like that.
Oh, wow.
Sun came up, and I woke up like 3 hours later. Then we did it all again in Asheville.
Nice.
And got home about 2, because we left early, and got to bed. Sun came up, and I was up again a few hours later. Mm. So that was awesome.
Gotta love it, man.
All in all, it was a fun weekend.
That's rock star life, bro.
Yeah. But I was in bed by like 9:30 on Sunday.
That sounds awesome.
I think I crawled into bed. I didn't have nothing left.
I don't have anything left. I'm just going to crawl into bed.
Yeah.
Get it.
Pretty much that's how that weekend ended.
I feel like we're getting older, and we're just now realizing it. Ladies and gentlemen who are home again, I'm shaking my head no. I've realized it for a couple years now.
And by couple years, I mean like 10 years. Been hurting for a long time. Just every day, just hurting for no reason.
Welcome to the episode of Movie in a Pod. I'm Clyde Smith.
And I am Javier Villalobos.
On this episode, we're discussing the trailer for Trap, Back to Black, Episode 7 of X-Men 97, and our movie of the week, 100 Girls. going for a wild ride this week, Javi. All right, team. Hope you all are having a fantastic week here. Got some trailers coming at you here. We got Trap, the new M. Night Shyamalan flick, and then Back to Black, which is about the British singer lady who was like the highest charting British singer at the time. This is pre-Adele, ladies and gentlemen, okay?
wasn't Kesha either.
Wasn't Kesha. Is Kesha British?
I don't know.
Kesha British?
I don't know if she is or not.
Kesha, let us know if you're British or not.
Who knows?
All right, team. Like always, let you know, we do have some socials. You'll find all that information in the link tree in our show notes. Yes, sir. Like, share, subscribe. Tweet at us. Read us. And all that other stuff, team.
I didn't think we could tweet anymore.
I don't know what X. I don't want to X anybody. That just sounds horrible. I don't want to X anybody. Nope. Good.
I got you.
You know how like back in college it was like Facebook me, right? And then it was like, yo man, tweet me when we got a little older when Twitter came out. Like, who wants to? Yo man, X me. I don't want that. I'm not.
Doesn't sound good. Doesn't sound good.
I don't have powers. I'm not going to be an X-Men. I'm sorry. hey team, according to IMDb, we have Trap. A father and his teen daughter attend a pop concert only to realize they've entered the center of a dark and sinister event. Written and directed by M. Night Shyamalan. I don't like Josh Hartnett as a bad guy,
right?
Only because like he did that so damn well in this trailer.
Yeah, he was able to change that facial expression super fast and be super weird. This was kind of a interesting M. Night trailer,
right?
Like, usually you don't get to peek behind that curtain unless we're like being tricked a little here. There's another twist somewhere in there.
I didn't even think about that. You're right. I'm thinking it's like a straight up story by M. Night about this guy who is now trapped in this concert venue with his daughter. He's going to have to claw his way out, but also keep not have his daughter see his actions is my guess.
Yeah. I'm with you on that.
But you're right. There's always a twist with every M. Night movie, and we should suspect it here.
Yes, of course.
All right. Let me ask you this. I'm just a little speechless, and I'm sorry. Only because, like, I did not expect that.
Yeah, Josh Hartnett kind of got you there, didn't he? Pulled the heartstrings a little bit.
Yes, I'm hurt. hurt. Let me gather my thoughts. Let me gather myself, sir. I'm sorry.
The thing is, like, he opened the book up a little bit there. He told us that. Well, he didn't really tell us, but he showed us kind of a weird thing here where this guy can see
dead people.
Another guy on his phone tied up in his basement. So you would think that would be the twist that's hidden. So there's another twist somewhere in there that's hidden.
Okay. So you're right. I just thought that he was maybe some, because we didn't get what his profession was, that he was a cop or a detective, and he was kind of scoping and seeing it. And then the guy was like, yo, man, I really shouldn't tell you, but this is what's going on. Mm-hmm. And he's like, all right, well, I got to help this guy. Maybe his daughter gets stolen or something like that, or gets taken
right
in there. Right, right. And he has to, you know, like a Die Hard situation.
And pull a... He's going to pull a Taken.
Nope. The main character is the villain, is the killer.
That's pretty wild.
All right. Team, we'll throw this on our socials. I'm a little heartbroken here.
I'm going to write them a letter. My wife, Josh, has strongly worded email.
I mean, I will say this, man. Every good actor does need to be a villain at least once in their career, right? That is very vital. Al Pacino has done it. Robert De Niro has done it plenty of times. Denzel obviously did it in Training Day. Maybe this is Josh Hartnett, who is, you know, at 90s and early 2000s heartthrob, making his comeback
Let's go.
With this. So I'm excited, man. This is definitely in the theaters to watch this. If anything, we'll get some good music from Lady Raven. Who knows? Who knows, dude? You know what I mean? Maybe. All right, team. We will throw Trap on our socials. Let us know your thoughts. Also, what is your favorite M. Night Shyamalan movie? Let us know in the comments, team. All right, team. According to IMDb, we have Back to Black, the life and music of Amy Winehouse, although the journey of adolescence to adulthood and the creation of one of the best-selling albums of one of our time. Directed by Sam Taylor Johnson and starring Marissa Abella as Amy Winehouse, Eddie Marzin as Mitch Winehouse, got Jack O'Connor, and a few other people in this film is what it looks like here.
Yes, sir.
JV, you're the resident rock star. Mm. What are your thoughts on this, brother? Is this how your rise went as well?
not quite to the top of the mountain as she was. It was close, very close.
He's shaking.
I'm shaking my head now. Right now. as far as Amy Winehouse, I mean, everybody recognizes that name no matter what. I feel like I didn't listen to much of her music. I just wasn't my thing.
I've never been to rehab, so I never had to say no. I just too many drug jokes. I'm sorry.
It's quite a few.
Yeah, I'm sorry.
And as far as the movie, like, there's been very few, like, documentary, well, biopics, right? Is that what this is really? It's not a documentary.
Do you call it a biopic or a biopic?
Call it a biopic.
I agree. I don't call it that, but I agree. I don't know why I don't call it that. That is correct. I asked Christopher Nolan. It is a biopic.
All right.
He's also anyway. British, so he doesn't matter. I mean, he doesn't count.
He's probably right then.
I also asked Steven Spielberg. He said it's a biopic.
Oh. Well, on movie in the pod, since they don't pay us, I'm going to say biopic.
He says, I'm going to say whatever the hell I want to say.
either way, there's been very few of these that I've like really enjoyed.
Yeah.
And I don't foresee that this is going to be one that I really enjoy. Mostly because, I mean, I don't know. I've never gotten into these kind of movies, really, other than maybe ones that are more loosely like The Dirt. You watched The Dirt, the Motley Crue movie?
The Dirt with Motley Crue was so good.
So, yeah, I mean, if it's streaming, I might check it out whenever it hits that. But, I mean, the trailer didn't grasp me in any way.
Yeah, I'm right there with you, man. I, like, you know, we had the year where we had the Queen biopic, and then we had the other one.
There's been quite a few.
I forgot the name of it, but they came out really, really soon. And those two were enjoyable. The Queen one was actually really fun and really good. Mm-hmm. Just the way that they did it.
Yeah, I saw that one. It was good. It was mixing in, like, the real footage with the movie and stuff was fantastic.
And the fact that they were just like, my man was like laying down a base. They were all arguing when I was laying down a baseline, and they all like, what the? That's funky. And they all start thinking, and then like 10 seconds later, they're at the live concert, like performing that. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah,
that was cool. That's a gimmick that like that worked for me to keep me entertained through that movie.
Yeah.
I didn't listen to Amy Winehouse. I don't resonate with her music.
Well, there's kind of a thing there for some of those where you get to enjoy the music part of the movie and the artist.
Yeah.
And then there's some where that is just kind of in between everything else. It just depends on what you want to see. If you want to see everything else, that's cool. If you really want to see the music and the creation of it, you know, it's almost two different genres of that kind of movie to me.
Yeah. And I think the Bohemian Rhapsody melded those two together very, very well. Yep. Other ones have not done that so well. But who knows, man? You know, this could be a smash hit. The young lady who was playing her, she's on this show on HBO that I really, really enjoy. If I can remember the name of it here, give me 1 second. Industry. So she's really good in that show. But yeah, man, this will come whenever it's streaming. You know, I might post up and watch it. I know something like my mom's going to be really interested in it because she was a humongous Amy Winehouse fan.
Right.
Love cool. this album. So with those on our socials team, let us know your thoughts. Thank you, Javier. I just bit my tongue. Thank you.
I don't know why I wanted to push that button so bad. I let my thoughts get me there.
I bit my tongue because I was literally just opening my mouth to say a word, and I don't know where that noise came from. I just kind of like everything clenched.
Yeah.
All right, team. We have X-Men 97, Episode 7, Bright Eyes. Cyclops focuses the X-Men on finding Bolivar Trask. However, when the team locates the Sentinel inventor, they realize they have all been played by a mastermind. JV, we're back. Another riveting, awesome episode of X-Men 97. Give me your thoughts, brother.
Yeah, we kind of get an episode where, you know, we've talked about these so far where they're really letting these X-Men show off their powers.
Yeah.
So we get Rogue just go insane. Following up Gambit's death. And she's on the hunt, right? She's hunting. She's hunting, destroying, no telling what else she did. You know, I mean, you know, you throw a tank at a bunch of dudes, I'm sure there was some casualties.
Oh yeah, there's definitely some dead Marines in this episode of X-Men 97. Wow.
We have a special guest appearance.
That's pretty man. Awesome. Yo, so I got something to say. So we get we get Steve Rogers, 1997. We get Steve Rogers, right? So I was inquiring this entire time, right? Is this X-Men series a part of the current MCU? And the answer is no. It could be a different universe.
Well, it always is. That's the excuse at the end of the day, isn't it?
If that's the yes, that's yeah, the yeah. excuse now. Damn TVA. But yes, different universe because he was a capsicle until what? 2011?
Something around that, you know, that time.
Yeah, that's when the first Avengers movie came out was 2012. So let's say a year before those events, maybe.
Honestly, I did not do that kind of math.
I didn't catch that. I did it as soon as I saw Steve. As soon as I saw Steve, I was like.
I didn't think about that.
Okay, different universe. Trying to play it up there.
But he did go back in time, right? And grew old.
Oh, man. Now you messing with the timeline now.
Yeah.
Now we're in it.
Morbius is about to take me out. Figured it out.
Oh, dude. All right. So in this episode, you're right, man. Rogue is on a rampage. She is whooping everybody's ass that she can to be able to kind of avenge the love of her life's death.
Yep.
During that time, Cyclops and the rest of the team are definitely looking for Bolivar Trask, and they encounter him, but they encounter a different version of him.
Yeah, the new model of Sentinel that they are working on, right? Cool.
People just like this is wild, man. Like people hate mutants so much that they will get their ass beat and be like, let's go back to the lab and let's figure out how we can go ahead and get a bigger, better, stronger Sentinel.
Right.
That's all Bolivar Trask does.
And I think that's all leading. I mean, they say a lot, multiple times, or Beast does that, you know, the text from the future, right?
Yeah.
Way past what we got. So, you know, you got Cable running back and forth as well. So I think we're going to lead up to some sort of Terminator situation, right?
Have to.
That's where it's definitely where it's going.
Might get Arnold himself here. You know what I mean? So,
yeah, we'll see where it goes. I mean, definitely a good, very emotional follow up episode to last week. You know,
we're
on the everybody's grieving right now. So.
I like that we have Theo James as this guy named Bastion, and I'll be honest with you, if I have ever met this or encountered this guy, Bastion, before, don't remember at all. What about you?
No, I have no clue what was going on with that.
No clue at all.
Yeah, I have no clue. Yeah, but we see Sinister again, right? He's back in the fold. Other guy. We'll figure out what that guy's deal is in the next couple episodes, I guess.
I thought, like, Mr. Sinister was going to be the overarching, like, bad guy, but he's just a pawn, and he's just the money for Bastion to do whatever the heck he's planning on doing. Is what we have here.
There's always a puppet. Right, and a puppet master, and it just continuously goes up to another person every time the next bad guy goes down. Until you get to like a celestial or something, right?
I was surprised that the souped up Bolivar Trask was able to take down the X-Men as fast as he did.
He laid it down.
Laid it down, man.
Yeah.
And then we had to have Cable come through and be like, hold on, dude, I got a plasma grenade from the Halo series. I got you guys. And that took my man out in like, you know, one hit. So
yeah.
I am looking forward to these next four episodes, 8, 9, 10, 11. these four episodes, man. I hope it leads up to something huge, something big. I hope we get to see, like, more Cyclops being a badass. You know, we got him at the beginning of the series. We haven't really had much since. So, also, you know, when's Wolverine about to make some noise, man?
And did Quicksilver just kind of show up? Wasn't he in that episode?
That was Morph.
Oh, was it? I missed the same thing.
Bro, I thought the same thing. I looked down from 1 second. I look up, it's Silver Surfer. I'm like, what the? And then, like, he kicked him or something, and he morphed back into Morph. And I was like, man.
That flew over my head.
Yeah, that was interesting.
Yeah. God, I'm about to check that out one more time and see where I missed there. Because I definitely remember seeing them, and then I was like, I need to go back and look, and I just never went back. So.
Yeah. All right, team. So we are still rocking with X-Men 97. The latest episode is Bright Eyes. By the time this pod comes up, we'll have episode 8 that we'll talk about on next week's pod, guys. Let us know your thoughts of this most recent episode.
I texted you something earlier today. You remember what I texted you?
You know what I can about, do, right?
About a...
I can go back through my
about archives. About a certain actor.
Oh, the great Bostonian, Matthew, Diane. I don't know if his middle name is Diane or not. That would be awesome if it was, though. Matthew, I'm going to see what his middle name actually is.
Okay, I take back my statement. I texted you about two actors today, actually.
Wait, I forgot. Two actors?
Mr. Powell.
You texted me, hold on a second, today. Oh, Glenn Powell, yes.
Exactly. He's so hot right now. I forgot the Matt Damon thing.
So do you... Okay, so let me ask you a question here, because this is going to be very important, right? You know I have a bunch of man crushes. Like, probably like 40, okay? If you needed to guess which one I'm into at that day, his name starts with Chris. Just pick one.
Pick one of the Chris.
Pick one of the Chris's, whatever, man.
Right. You listened to Chris Pine today, right?
Oh, 1,000%, yes. The entire episode.
I didn't get to that one. But I had texted you, Glenn Powell, he's so hot right now. Is that what I sent you?
Yep. Is that your man crush right now?
No. I watched the movie Anyone But You.
Such a good flick.
Today. And I didn't catch it in theaters. I missed it. So it hit Netflix, and I caught it. And... pretty fantastic. Pretty good flick. It was a good time. It was a really good time.
Yo, my favorite writer director directed that flick, man. Highly recommend anybody go see anything directed by this guy, man.
Yeah, I mean, the chemistry with those two on camera was amazing.
Will Gluck and his writing directing, man, is he just does relations with people so well. I mean, this movie was fantastic, and it's his return to form. I just want to talk about Will Gluck for just 1 second. The man has started with Fired Up. If you've never seen the movie Fired Up, I highly recommend. It's the best. It's basically a documentary about my life as a cheerleader. I'll leave it at that.
Right.
He did Easy A, which was nominated for a bunch of Academy Awards. Friends with Benefits. And then he did the Peter Rabbit movies. He did Annie. You know, he did like family, kid-friendly movies.
Yeah.
And then he finally returned the form with Anyone But You. He's really excels in adult, young adult, rated R, rom-coms. That's his wheelhouse. And I think he kicked ass with Anyone But You, man.
And, I mean, most of that movie was pretty low-key as far as, like, the sexuality, most of it. It was a pretty good time. I mean, like I said, their chemistry and just the banter alone was worth the watch. Like they just hit back and forth very well.
Agreed.
Glenn Powell and Sydney. But yeah, I caught it this morning and fantastic.
I'm glad you enjoyed that, man. That's was, like I said, that was on my list last year of favorite movies, and yeah, that one kicked ass. Just basically watch anything by Will Gluck. Dude's one of the best in the games. Understand, like, outside of those two, the entire cast was just like, everybody was firing on all cylinders.
Yes, yeah, agreed. Yeah,
nope. There's no lazy writing. There's no lazy acting in his movies.
Yeah, and it was, you know, a little bit of it was kind of over the top where it was supposed to be, but it still was very enjoyable, not a corny over the top.
Definitely agree, man.
But so, beautiful movie, beautiful people, and it's a great flick.
So it is the 20-year, correct. So it is the 20-year anniversary of Scotty Doesn't Know. February was the 20th anniversary. So
nice. Completely greatest... forgot that was Matt Damon that performed that song. good flick. Good fun flick.
It's on our list to fit in this season. We got to get it done. We did Road Trip. We got to do Euro Trip. So,
and just that song was just him singing the song and it just being the song it was for that time and listening to it now, still fire song. Still fire.
Like nobody, for like, okay, it's in the zeitgeist, right? Where Eurotrip was a good comedy for its time.
Yeah.
Is it memorable like The Hangover or Coming to America and stuff? No, it's not that level. But is that song one of the most memorable songs in a movie of all time? It's up there.
It really is. It really is. And like I said, the song on its own is just a fire song anyways. Yeah,
definitely enjoyed that, man. All right, brother, let's jump into this week's movie.
All righty.
All right, team, we do have 100 Girls. 100 Girls was released in 2000.
Nice.
Had some other films that was released that year. Let's go with the little bit of list here. Guys, we had Unbreakable. At Frequency, we had Bring It On, Scary Movie, Requiem for a Dream, American Psycho, The Patriot, Mission to Mars, Almost Famous, Sound of Fury, Memento,
Fire
Cell, Oh Brother, Where Art Thou, Road Trip, Final Destination. It's so good, man. Aaron Brockovich. You know, like just Traffic, The Watcher, Cruel Intentions 2, The Sixth Day, 28 Days Later, Left Behind, El Dorado, X-Men Dropped. You know what I mean? Just so many bangers.
Every one of those 24-year-old movies, I remember like I watched them a couple days ago.
Yep. Fantastic. And my favorite football movie, which I've probably said the last time we talked about 2000 movies, was Remember the Titans, also released in 2000, team. All right. 100 Girls is written and directed by Michael Davis.
I couldn't find a budget, and it probably wasn't that much anyways. and I didn't see a gross for it either. So it's a mystery.
Ooh, mystery it is.
Mystery it is, yep. Starting this, we have Jonathan Tucker as Matthew, Emanuela Crickey as Patty, James DeBolo as Rod, Catherine Heigl as Arlene, Larissa Olenek as Wendy, Jamie Presley as Cynthia, and Marissa Ribisi as Dora.
Oh, yeah. All right, man. So we can jump into this one. Go ahead and give us a quick synopsis of the slick.
So Matthew has relations in an elevator during a blackout with a mystery lady because he can't see her. He decides he's going to go through every apartment in the female-only dorm to find the love of his life.
Yes, sir. All right, man. So let's start at the top here. Our protagonist in this, we have Jonathan Tucker as Matthew. Now, Matthew is in college. Matthew is drunk one night. Matthew gets on an elevator. Matthew hooks up with a young lady when the elevator breaks down in the guise of Dark. He doesn't end up knowing who she is.
No clue.
Literally a one-night stand. He's in college, right?
One way to do it, I guess.
Where and he's in college where you know, that's kind of the norm. This is 2000, right? So it was around that road trip, Euro trip era, right? Where you can,
you know,
it was what it was. But he's a different guy. And I like that, man. It wasn't just, I hooked up, whatever, on to the next one. He felt a wild chemistry with the girl, and no other girl compares. And he just wants her. He doesn't want to go out. He sees all these other girls, even through his, like, search for her in the girl's dorm. He just wants this girl who he has this cosmetic destiny with, man. For me, watching this as a young 20-some-year-old, this was tough for me to relate to, but also, like, very hopeful. That is a man that we all want to aspire to be. That he was a tough watch for what he was going after, because he was surrounded by 100 girls. Okay, the movie's called 100 Girls. He's surrounded by all these girls in the girls' dorm. He makes this big plan to kind of get behind enemy lines in the girls' dorm, and he's in there. He can have his pick of any one of these women, and he is singularly focused on his mission. So he could just be like, I'm just gonna hook up, whatever. I'm in here, I'm gonna have a good time. But he has a North Star.
He does do that, actually.
He does, but he has a North Star, though.
You're like, I just want this man to be the real deal.
Hey, man, I'm not mad at him. Not mad at him at all, man. And along the way, during the whole semester of him trying to find his one true love, he ends up learning a lot about himself and a lot about women. And
he gets behind the line.
Exactly. But and I can only tell you from my experience also watching this movie, pretty spot on with a lot of his takeaways. Pretty spot on, man. What were your thoughts? Talk to me about your thoughts about this movie and Matthew as a whole.
Yeah, like I said, I mean, I agree that he has this one person that he's trying to find, right? And we haven't got to her, but you also have like Wendy, who is, I guess, his best, like a friend of his from
high school,
from childhood.
Yeah.
We haven't got to her yet, but she starts hanging out with him, and you know, kind of along the lines, you start thinking, you know, maybe these two need to get together. You know, there's all kinds of chemistry between them two, but he doesn't, right? He doesn't even, I mean, he talks to her and says things to her, but it never really goes anywhere. And then he's got all these other girls that he meets, like you said, and he does continuously keep that, you know, I'm just trying to find this girl and doing his investigations, right?
Yeah.
When in all reality, he probably could have done a few things with some of them women. But all in all, like with him and going through the movie, he keeps that through the whole movie.
Yeah.
And I think if he, well, he mostly keeps that, I should say. You know, temptation gets to everybody. I'm saying
temptation for everybody.
Yeah. But yeah, well, once we talk through some of these other characters, we'll jump a little further into it.
Definitely here. So we're going to try not to spoil as well, because that's the that is the beautiful mystery about this movie, is that he does hook up with this girl. There's a connection, you know, not just on the sex tip, but also like their connection, their talk, their conversation, their banter. It was a whole night thing, right? And he felt a genuine connection with this person. And that's tough to do, especially in college. You know what I mean? When there is just so much different male, female, just so much stuff coming at you and stuff that you have to, hoops you have to endure. When you have that, hold on to it, man. Who knows how long it's going to last, but go through it. So I don't want to spoil the movie. It is a mystery of unlocking exactly who this person is that he connected with here. So we do have Emmanuel Krike. I never knew how to pronounce her name.
Yeah.
Salone from Entourage is what I always call her. Anyway, she
also plays on Smallville, not Smallville, Adventures of Lois and
Superman, The Adventures of Lois and Superman.
Mine went crazy. Yes. Yes.
Yes. Yes. Yes. Yes. Yes. Yes. Yes.
Very fun character in there as well. Sorry.
filmed in Alberta, Kansas, Canada, right? I believe. I don't know. Don't quote me on that. Anyway, she's Patty. She's one of the girls in the dorm that he gets into. Now, the dorm is quoted. I love the name that him and his buddy Rod call it. They call it the Virgin Vault. Love that name, by the way. Love it, love it, love it, right? It's straight just like a 18, 19, 20-year-old guy would call it that, right? Put yourself in the mind of young, like college-age boys. So it's the Virgin Vault. She's one of the girls that he meets, and she is dealing with maybe an ex, maybe a current boyfriend who is kind of too physical with her. Crick, we'll talk about him in a few minutes. So he's kind of our antagonist who keeps popping up here. But when we finally get Matthew and Patty, and I love Matthew's inner monologues while he's talking to all these different girls as well, right?
Yeah.
She's the type of girl that like is oozing with sex, right? And there's always that one girl, either in high school, in college, at wherever you are in life, there's always that one girl that is just oozing with it, right? Who just like, she'll know what she's doing, right? And that's how he feels towards her. But he also looks at her and goes, that's not a girl that I can probably settle down with and take to mom. Like, it's just not.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And this is early on when he meets Patty in the Virgin Vault, where he really hasn't taken down he hasn't really learned or how to interact with women yet, man. I think that's what happens throughout this film here. James DeBello as Rod. JV, take it from here, man. I think we all have a Rod in our friend group.
That and like this guy James, I mean, he was a staple for this character.
Yeah, perfect
for many a years.
Yep.
He always just had that kind of lack of a better phrasing, like stoner vibe, hippie yep. kind of vibe. And he's had it through, let's see what, he was in American Pie, Detroit Rock City, Scary Movie, a few other movies like that. He did have a stint of some like horror movies as well.
Yeah.
But every time I see this guy's face, this is kind of, that's the personality I see is, is that guy. And he's always played it so well. And he did it in this movie too. He was just real chill, real weird. And basically just trying to explore, right, his sexuality, and doesn't do a very good job of it, other than with himself, apparently.
Yeah, he's, I mean.
He talks a lot, but doesn't do much.
It's weird, man, because, like, we all know a Rod. There's a Rod in every guy group, and we're like, we keep him around. It's keep, yeah, we're keeping him around because he can be funny at times, but he's a little disgusting. He's a little too sexist. He's typically a narcissist. But what I did enjoy about this character in this, like this Rod, is it was kind of a shell. He's dealing with some emotional baggage, something that has happened previously in his life that is the reason why he acts the way he does and trying to go through this sexual journey of trying to get penile power. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
and the stuff that he does, man. And I love how we unpacked him as well. So not only Matthew got to meet and understand all of these women, he understood his roommate as well, who's a guy's guy, but everybody's dealing with something and you don't know until you find.
Yeah.
That's what a good takeaway for this was.
That was kind of the whole, well, we'll talk about that when we get to a theme.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. All right. We got a young Katherine Heigl here as Arlene. Mm-hmm. And Katherine Heigl as Arlene, she is just off the bat, like, you get that tomboy vibe, right?
Yep.
But, like, she's a hot tomboy. Like, they, you know what I mean?
I mean, she can definitely throw down on Matthew.
Oh, yeah.
She can take him out.
Tiny guy compared to her, yes. You know, she wants, you know, she's in on a Friday night and she wants to play foosball. Matthew's there and they play foosball. But during that interaction it's kind of battle of the sexes.
Yeah.
And I really thought this was a cool addition to the flick, is they use the game of foosball just to have them kind of go back and forth in a way and have these conversations where, you know, men this, women that, battle of the sexes. And I thought that was just one of the stronger parts of this film and explained why Michael Davis wrote and directed this movie, like what this was about.
Right.
It was a very strong scene there, man. But yeah, she's tomboyish. She's kind of, you know, just more sporty and stuff. We come to find out that, you know, it was her and a bunch of brothers. So.
Yeah. And that is kind of used a little later on too, like, more explanation of that particular back and forth. It's not just one scene. It's over time as well, which was interesting.
Definitely. All right. We got Larissa Olnick as Wendy. We had Larissa in 10 Things I Hate About You a couple weeks ago.
Yep.
And she plays Wendy, and she plays a entirely different role than her 10 Things. This character is Susie Homemaker. Perfect. Perfect girl. Perfect grades. Everything is in place.
I will say that her scene where she's like cooking is probably my favorite scene out of the whole movie.
Because it's like super cool how she did everything.
She's very, very inventive about how she handled it all.
It gave me vibes of the beginning of Back to the Future when he goes into Doc's place. Yeah. It gives me those vibes, right? So I thought that was really cool. Yeah. I do like Wendy because for you have like Rod, who he kind of reports back to as his roommate, but like while Matthew's behind enemy lines in the Virgin Vault, he has a Robin, and that Robin is Wendy, right? Where she helps him out on this mission to find the girl of his dreams, man.
Yeah.
And she does that to a T. Like, she even has these girls looking away while he'll run in there and mash up. We didn't add that part. When he came out of the elevator the next morning, all he had was she walked in there with her clean laundry. And the only thing that was left over when he got out of the elevator was her panties. So what he's doing is trying to match up. Rod had the great idea to match up the panties to the bra.
He is going through those drawers very effectively, I should say.
Very effectively.
He's really, really, really digging in that drawer.
Really finding some stuff out there. So, and Wendy's there helping him along the way. Definitely appreciate her as a character. All right. Jamie Presley as Cynthia. And is Jamie Presley, and Jamie Presley is a gorgeous human being, and she plays that it girl here.
Yep.
She plays that Miss Untouchable. Miss any guy will do anything for her at the drop of a dime. And that's her character here. But even she goes on a character arc in this movie, man. The cool thing about this movie is that each one of these characters we have encountered in our life, like everybody can relate to, unless you literally live under a rock. Everybody has encountered at least one of these characters in their life. And Jamie Presley is that girl where she's so gorgeous and so perfect and so flawless where you get to her and she says something to you and you just start mumbling and fumbling your words and stuttering. And that's exactly what Matthew did every single time.
Well, yeah, he would do like, it would just be gibberish. That came out of his mouth.
It'd be straight gibberish.
I love her reaction to it. Like too, like you could tell she's like, I don't understand what's happening. It's really good.
But, like, my favorite scene is when we first get introduced to her. Well, not when we first get introduced, but when they're face-to-face and they're eye-to-eye.
Yeah.
And he's monologuing the entire time. And the monologue is like, you know, women, if a guy is face-to-face with a woman, eye-to-eye, and a guy looks down at her chest, that woman knows that she has power over this man forever. Right. And it was just like we got like some Sahara African kind of music in the background.
Yeah.
We got like the growling of the lions going back and forth and who's going to blink first. Right? Who's going to come up first. And he obviously loses, looks out of her breast. Boom. Done. Got you. I'm sorry. Yes, we are two dudes. We're two. But like, at any point in time in our life, who has not been in that situation as a guy? I've definitely been there, and I've lost every single time. Sorry. Sorry.
Sorry. Sorry, my dude. Sorry, my just a guy.
That's the joy in this movie, man, is the realness where you look at it. You know that, okay, so I don't know if you saw Once Upon a Time in Hollywood with Leonardo DiCaprio where he's sitting on his couch.
I don't think I caught that one, no.
Okay, well, you've seen the meme where he's just like, hey, that's me. That's me right there.
Yeah.
I'm watching 100 Girls, and that's me. I'm like, oh, yeah, I've seen that, done that. I know that person, right? Like,
right.
Through each one of these situations, man. So, I like her. Like, everybody has a good arc through this movie here. We have Marissa Ribisi as Dora, and Dora's the outcast. Dora is the...
She's basically the opposite of Cynthia. She's like the complete other spectrum of pretty girl doing, getting everybody to do whatever they want to, you know, they say not so pretty girl, just being on her own and never talking to anybody.
This is the one character that, like, I just didn't believe it. Everybody, like, fit perfectly in here.
Mm-hmm.
Like, okay, you didn't wear makeup. You're alone in the dark reading a book by yourself there, right? But, like, Michael Davis did not cast an ugly person in this role.
Right.
She was just not all dolled up like the rest of the women throughout this movie. Until she was later on through her arc and everything. So it was like one of the only character placements where I was just like, really? And Matthew's like talking and monologuing about her. But I guess she does come right after he talks to Cynthia. So you're right. It is the total opposite is what they were trying to do. I just think.
I'm not saying that it actually was. I'm just saying that was the point of her.
Well, I think Michael Davis failed here, okay? Because you didn't get anybody who is ugly at all. Like, but I see your intentions in that there. So we do have our antagonist, Johnny Green as Crick, who is the guy who keeps on messing with Patty and Matthew takes down a few times with a nipples, nipple twisting and some other things or whatever. So it's just kind of a funny movie in regards to this guy as the antagonist, man. You need one in the movie. The one thing is like, that was weird that like Matthew did everything he can to like get in the Virgin Vault and like he had to go behind enemy lines and be like a repairman and training or whatever. How the hell was Crick just roaming the halls?
Yeah, you caught that too, right?
Yeah,
like roaming the halls and just like beating a girl in her dorm room.
Exactly. What?
All right, I'm glad I'm not the only one that caught that. Yeah. Being ridiculous.
Yep. All right, man. Let's talk about the settings in the music here. And I like that they kept it. Obviously, we don't have a budget. It probably wasn't like a big, you know, theater release movie.
Yeah.
But
now, I think Wiki said it was straight to demand or something like that. What did it say?
Gotcha. Straight to VHS.
Direct to video.
Direct.
That's right. We're talking about 2000. There was no demand then.
Direct. So you had to go to Blockbuster for this one, guys.
Yeah.
Had to go to the old Blockbuster for this.
They don't have any records left of it. That's why you don't have a budget.
Yep.
All the records got burned up at some point.
Oh, no. All right, team. So this movie, man, we're at a college, right? Undisclosed college, but we keep it there. We get their dorm room as far as Matthew and Rod's. Then we got the whole Virgin Vault, right? Kept it very simple, kept it basic. But we got we got different parts of the girls' dorm, which I really thought was cool, man. That was very important to kind of use the all ins and outs. So the front where the chick who was plucking her eyebrows the entire time, we got the basement. We got every girl had their own dorm room and they all had their own vibe.
Yeah.
I even loved it in the beginning and the end where he's kind of looking at them from the outside and they're all in their window at the same exact time. You know what I mean? So,
yeah.
Apparently
this dorm was only one sided.
That's it.
It's just a one sided dorm.
So like my sophomore year, my dorm, it was two sided. My side was facing the field where everybody like intramural sports, and the yeah. other side was just parking. So it was always dark and like decrepit. So mm-hmm. if you look out those windows, you're not seeing anything at night. You look out my windows, everybody is, you know, playing intramural flag football or whatever. Yeah. So like I really thought that as well. It was like, huh, we got 100 girls and they're all just a one-sided dorm here. Yeah. I thought that as well. I did pick up on that. That's interesting.
Yeah, that's interesting.
That's movie magic. That's how you save a buck in Hollywood, mm-hmm. ladies and gentlemen.
Only one shot.
We got one can left, guys. We got to get this shot. This movie's not being made, damn it.
Yep.
From the start, man, did you not get that like late 90s, early 2000s music vibe? It was right there. Oh, yeah. Center, man. Even like through the montages and everything, I'm like, oh, this is so
yeah
90s 2000s, man. What's going on here?
Spot on.
Like that, just like, remember the music from Swingers, the big band and everything? It was mm-hmm. like that a few years down the road is yeah. what the musical vibe was, man. I can't even really put my finger on like say what it was. But if you hear it, you're like, yep, that was a time period. I lived through that. I lived through movies making that because it was the same thing in 10 Things I Hate About You. Like the same yeah. type of music vibe. So,
oh, yeah.
All right, brother. Let's jump into a theme. We have here 100 Girls. And 100 Girls theme, I think what Michael Davis was trying to do with this small directive video art house film is show that yes, men and women are different, and it's not until we put down our guard, take down our shields, and mm-hmm. actually start to understand each other, right? And Matthew got to do that with each and every one of these women that he kind of just looked at and oogled at first, right? He's like, I'm just in here and, you know, whatever.
Yeah.
And he lets his guard down and actually starts understanding Patty, starts understanding Arlene, Wendy, Cynthia, Dora, Dana, Sasha, Maureen, the Jane Knights, right? Barbara, Rhonda, all these girls, right? He actually gets to understand them and he becomes a better man for it, man. I think that's what Michael Davis was going after, right? Cool. Where, yeah, us as guys, we can sit here and we can oogle and we can be Rod for the rest of our lives, or we can actually take the time and understand, like, yeah, that's a gorgeous, beautiful woman that we want to, you know, everything with, but there's more to her. And so right. understand that is what I got out of this movie, man. All right, team. So that is our conversation about 2001's 100 Girls, directed by Michael Davis, starring my man Jonathan Tucker. JV.
Yes, sir.
First time watching this flick?
Yes, sir.
All right. Give me your thoughts and ratings on this, brother.
You know, there were certain parts of this movie that made me laugh a little bit, but I'll be really honest. I did not laugh through this movie very much.
Okay.
I don't know. It was something. It gave me more kind of creepy guy vibes than it did like romantic comedy vibes.
Gotcha. Like, gotcha. Yeah,
and you know, you watch like Road Trip and Euro Trip and those movies, we compare a lot of the movies to at this time. This one kind of gave me more. I mean, this guy was like rifling through panty drawers, like through a good chunk of the movie. You know, he's breaking and entering into these girls' dorm rooms and just going through all their stuff.
It's an invasion of privacy, yeah, yeah. is what it was. Yeah.
But yeah, I don't know. I just didn't connect to anybody really to like to be like, other than like a few things like you were talking about, like just the normal interactions between people.
Yeah.
But like through the whole movie, none of the characters I like really enjoyed.
Yeah.
And I think I got a little bit of a creep fest out of it rather than like I said, a romantic comedy.
I got you.
Or a comedy movie. So yeah, I mean, I watched it all the way through, and I don't have like terrible, terrible things to say about it by any means, but I think it's gonna get 2 buckets of popcorn from me for this
one. Okay.
Week.
Okay.
Yes, sir. What about you?
Yeah, man. So I probably first watched this movie in like 2005, something like that.
So you were cool with all the panty rifling then at that point?
I mean, I was an 18-year-old boy when I first watched this movie.
Exactly.
Right?
Yeah.
And like,
I had a different connection with it if I had watched it at that point.
Exactly, exactly. So like, I do, and that's kind of the beauty of this conversation here, where like, I do have a different connection with it because I was an 18-year-old boy who, we had female friends in high school and stuff like that, but I was about to venture into the world without my mom and dad and having to deal with things and relations without my core group of guys that I can just kind of be like, yo, Javi, go talk to that girl for me.
Yeah.
I don't have that anymore. So like this movie for me, I used it as something that I can arm myself with, where I can be a Matthew or I can be a Rod. Right. Or the big extremes. Like I can be a Crick. Right. Like I'm talking about 18-year-old Clyde here. Damn it. Okay.
Yeah. No, I'm with you. I'm with you.
And, you know, I have revisited this movie about 4 or 5 times since then, right? Including when I watched it for this pod here. And you are right in regards to the age that I'm at now. It is creepy, right? So I'm going to take this from the standpoint of, like, 18, 19-year-old Clyde. For me, the low budget, but what they were trying to do in regards to explain the battle of the sexes in a very interesting, different way. We've had battle of the sexes type movies before. Some done very, very well, some done very poorly. This one was a very interesting, where it's not just him exploring women and trying to understand them, but him just understanding the entire vibe and him becoming a better man for this journey that he went on.
And you do get to see like the female side of a lot of those interactions as well.
Yeah. He wasn't like a slime ball the entire, like, bad intentions at first, but remember he got that idea from Rod.
I mean, you're right.
He did it. He can't use it in the court of law and say, well, Rod said it was a good idea. I get that. But, you know, he let that go real fast and tried a couple of different other approaches.
And that's the thing, like, I think that was the creep line of it, was like, just dudes going through and literally just rifling through panties and other things.
Yeah.
And that was, for me, as a, you know, however old we are now, I always forget.
You as a father of 3 girls? Right now, it's just, can't do it, won't do it. My daughters will never, ever
never go to college,
damn it. You will stay here and work on the farm, woman.
Exactly.
Get your ass in there and churn that butter. I don't know why y'all are Amish all of a sudden. I don't know why, Javi, but... For me, man, this movie is a 4 buckets of popcorn. I believe that I have used and understand women a lot more. This has helped on the journey. Obviously, it's a never-ending, it's a never-ending thought about understanding of the other sex.
Yeah, it'll never be complete.
Because we're men and we always are coming from, last place to try to understand them anyway at all times. But I think this has helped me along my way and, you know, also understand like boundaries and understand they're not just a piece of meat. They're women, understand them. So that's what I appreciate about this movie, man. This one for me, man, 4 buckets of popcorn. I really enjoyed this when I first watched it and learned a lot. And I enjoyed the rewatches here. So
good deal. Yeah, man.
Thank you for subscribing to this week's episode, Talking Through 100 Girls. Next week, we will be discussing the David Lettich new flick, The Fall Guy.
You can catch that in the theater near you.
Like always, I am Clyde Smith. You can find me across all socials. I am Clyde D. Smith.
I am Javier Villalobos. You can find me across all socials at MrJ8200.
Thanks, guys.
Appreciate it.
Like always, keep watching.